Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Hear now the word of the Lord. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this gift of your word, and we thank you for your promise of provision in our struggle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we pray, Lord, that you would speak into our hearts through this word, that by your Holy Spirit, you would plant its truth deep into us, so that we may live by it through Christ our Lord. Amen. What is your struggle in this life? What is your struggle? Well, Paul presents to us the most critical struggle that we face in this world, which is that we live in a world where Christ has already conquered and is enthroned as king. Nevertheless, we also live in a world where Christ reigns in the midst of his enemies. The final victory has not been won yet. He has not yet come to eternally do away with the forces of evil in this world. He has won the decisive victory, but not the final one. And so to this day, as we walk in faith, the flesh, the devil, and the world all oppose us in living out our faith. They oppose us in living out faithfulness to Christ our Lord. And so here in these 11 verses, Paul focuses his final exhortation of this letter on resisting the devil and his forces as they aim to destroy God's work in you and in the world. Now, of course, we are inclined often, aren't we, to fight in our own strength, to fight with our own methods, to prove that we can do it, that we are strong enough. Or sometimes are we not tempted to give up fighting, to give in to sin, to give in to evil, if just for a little while? But it cannot be this way. For you, if you put your trust in Christ, you are united to him. And you have his strength. You have his strength. The same strength with which he has defeated the devil, has crucified sin in you, and has conquered the whole world. And what's more, you have been enlightened by the Holy Spirit so that in his word, you see the true nature of your fight. You see the true nature of sin in you. You see the true nature of the evil spiritual forces. You see the true nature of the world. And so Christ, with his strength and enlightening you by the Holy Spirit, Christ equips you to stand against your enemies. And so how will you fight? How will you be strong in the Lord? Will you fight with your own resources? Or will you take up Christ's equipment for the battle? Will you stay vigilant in prayer? And will you stand firm together? For here in this battle, you are not just individual warriors, but you are an army. And so as Paul takes up the conclusion of this letter, he tells all of God's people first to be strong in the battle, verses 10 through 13. Second, to take up the armor of God, 14 through 17. And third, to pray, verses 18 through 20. And so he calls you to be strong in the battle, as he says in verses 10 and 11, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. You require strength to be faithful to God, for your own strength will fail you in this fight. We see this in the history of ancient Israel as how God's people repeatedly failed to fight and to win their battles. For they saw things with human eyes and they saw only their own strength and the strength of their adversaries. We read in Numbers 13 and 14 that when the spies went up to the promised land, they came back with the report saying, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. But Caleb and Joshua contradicted them, saying, if the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us. Do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Well, this fight for the promised land is a type of the spiritual battle that we fight in the new covenant. For we do not fight a theocratic geopolitical battle. But no, you are embroiled in a spiritual battle for the upbuilding of Christ's kingdom. You are in a spiritual battle to remain faithful to Christ in this life. And if you look just at your own resources, at the strength that you have in yourself, you know that there's none to speak of. For what do we bring to the table? We bring death to the table. All of us were dead in our trespasses and sins. And in fact, we were ourselves in league with the very spiritual forces that we now are in battle against. We have nothing in ourselves in comparison with such strong adversaries, but Jesus has the strength that you need. Christ's strength is proven by his exaltation over all his enemies. And this strength is the power that he gives you in union with him. And so Paul counsels you to put on the whole armor of God. The armor of God is his strength for you. And we will return to this in more detail. But we see as we read further in verses 11 through 13 that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world rulers over this darkness, against the spiritual forces of the evil one in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. You are called by Christ to stand. You are called to resist the forces of evil. You are called to be courageous in battle. And he tells you who your enemy is. He tells you that you are not wrestling against flesh and blood. You are not wrestling against your neighbors in this world, but you are wrestling against the evil spiritual forces. This devil, he is a schemer. He's crafty. Remember that it says that the serpent was the craftiest of all the creatures. And you see his scheming and his craftiness in the way that he instigated the fall. And yet, God is able to make you stand fast. And so putting on the armor of God will ensure that you are able to stand fast. For you do not need physical weapons. You don't need swords or guns. What you need is the strength and the qualities that God provides. For the struggle is against those spiritual forces that are opposed to God, and He gives strength. And think of how important this would have felt to those ancient Ephesians. They were so accustomed to engaging in superstition and ritual, for they were fearful of the evil spiritual forces. Ephesus was very notable for its ancient practice of magic, attempting to control the evil spirits and bring about good. And yet, Paul here is saying, you don't need superstitions. You don't need to chant an incantation over every drink of water. You don't need to pronounce some sort of benediction over your house to dispel the evil spirits, for Christ and His strength is what you need. And Christ has already won. You have been given life to walk with Him. And your battle is fought in the heavenly places. As you have been raised up with Christ and are seated with Him in the heavenly places, and now you do battle with those evil spiritual powers. Something that we see portrayed vividly in the book of Daniel. For here on earth, Daniel was a bureaucrat, a high-ranking one in the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar and of other Neo-Babylonian kings. He was tempted to compromise. He had opportunity after opportunity to forsake God. And yet he stood firm through his entire life. And then when we turn to the second half of his book, we start to see those incredible images, these visions that Daniel has of what's happening in the heavenly realm. For God is showing him the heavenly reality behind his personal worldly battles. And so it is with us, that we, as we walk for Christ on this earth, there is a heavenly battle that is pitched. And we, as we stand fast for Christ, we are belligerents in that battle. And so the struggle is to stand firm for Christ and His kingdom in this life. Will you live according to the resurrection in this evil age? Christ has already brought in the new creation by working resurrection in you, His people. Will you live accordingly? And it is a demanding fight. For Paul says that you are called to do all that you can in the Lord's strength. But never forget this, that Christ reigns. Christ reigns in the midst of His enemies, and He gives you His power. He gives you His equipment for the battle. For as we see now that you are to take up the whole armor of God, and we see that armor described in verses 14 through 17. Now, Paul here draws on the image of the complete set of equipment for a Roman soldier. He describes everything that a soldier needs to perform his duties. And some interpreters will allegorize these different pieces of armor, saying that something matters, that a belt is truth and that a breastplate is righteousness and so on. But it's best not to do that, except where Paul does. Not every individual piece here is an allegory for some deeper truth, except where Paul says it is. But what we have here is that just as a Roman soldier depended on his armor and depended on his use of the armor to win the battle, so it is with you. These are the qualities, these are the attributes, these are the gifts of God that you can depend on to win the victory. And so Paul says to stand. And it's interesting here, the way the ESV phrases it. It says, and having done all to stand firm, stand therefore. It sounds a little academic, But when you read it in the ancient Greek, it comes across as a battle cry. You can stand, so stand. Stand in the armor of God, having fastened on the belt of truth. For the truth cannot fail. Let truth be put to the test. It will not fail. And so when you are tempted to believe lies, when you are tempted to turn away from the truth of God's word, return to it instead. For it is the only thing that will bear you up. And put on the breastplate of righteousness. Rely on Christ's perfect righteousness. For Christ's righteousness is what guarantees you safe passage to the world to come. You will not lose this heavenly battle in Christ's righteousness. Put your trust in Him. Remember that you will be found righteous in the judgment, that you will be found to have Christ's own righteousness. And as you have Christ's righteousness applied to you, you also see that as you walk this life, you grow in that righteousness. You grow in walking it out. You grow in sanctification. You grow in living accordingly. And this gives great assurance. For you see that the Holy Spirit of God is at work within you. And it gives you confidence that God is indeed bringing you to persevere to the end. Next, Paul says, as shoes for your feet, put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. For the gospel itself is what makes you ready for the battle. In the gospel, you know that your enemy has been defeated by the King of heaven and earth. You know that Christ's decisive victory is won and that his final victory is certain. And that he has dealt with your sin and made you a citizen of his kingdom if you entrust yourself to him. You were formerly his enemy, an enemy of the state. And yet now you are a citizen, and what's more, you are a son and daughter of the King. So this knowledge of the gospel gives confidence and strength. It gives you readiness to fight for Christ, your conquering King. It gives you love for him and a readiness to serve him. Verse 16, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, Paul here pictures a shield. Shields were quite effective if used properly. They were quite effective against arrows and other missiles. And even if they were burning, you could douse your shield in water and they would extinguish the flaming arrows coming your way. But here's the thing. Of course, in battle, a shield dries out. And shields were made of wood, and so eventually your shield would become useless. But Paul here says that with the shield of faith, you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. For he attacks you in many ways, and he is relentless. He will not give up attacking you until you are with Christ in glory. But you have the shield that never dries out, never fails to extinguish. And so when the devil attacks your assurance, and he will, for he is the accuser of Christ's people, when he attacks your assurance by faith, you look to the perfect work of Christ, your Savior. For he and his perfection are the basis of your standing with God. And when he attacks your confidence in the truth, remember that he is the father of lies. But the Holy Spirit gives the faith that gives you confidence in the truth of God's word. He speaks to you through God's word and persuades you of its truth. And so you can extinguish with faith all of the missiles of the evil one. And you take the helmet of salvation. Salvation, your ultimate protection. For you are guaranteed to arrive safe and sound at Christ's eschatological kingdom. You are guaranteed to be there. You are guaranteed, as Daniel was, to take your place and to stand in the last day. Nothing can get between you and your final destination in the kingdom of heaven. And so you are to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, the only weapon listed here. But critical to note that Paul still here is not picturing an offensive battle, but rather picturing the people of God as repelling the enemy's advance, repelling the enemy's desire to overtake you. And so with the sword, you are able to repel him and to drive him off. With the word of God, you are able to stand firm and to prevent your enemy from overcoming you. But here's the thing about all of this equipment. This is not just your equipment. It is Christ's own armor. It is his own armor with which he defeated sin, Satan, and death. Paul draws heavily on the prophecy of Isaiah here. As it says in Isaiah 11 of Christ, "Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins." And in 59, "He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head." This is Christ's own equipment, and he has tested it, and he has proven it to be effective, for he conquered death and Satan through death, and he emerged victorious. He rose again from the dead and has now been ascended and seated at the right hand of God the Father in the heavenly places as your conquering king. And having tested this armor and proven its value, Christ gives these implements to you as his gift. And they prepare you for your struggle against the flesh, the world, and the devil. And so as you stand firm in battle, there is one more thing to do, which is to pray. Now Paul here turns aside from the military metaphor and gives a new task, which is to pray. To pray for the proclamation of the gospel. For the proclamation of the gospel here is not described in military terms, but rather in terms of diplomacy, as Paul and all the ministers of Christ are ambassadors. And so Paul says in verse 18, "To pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints." You are called to pray in all circumstances, whatever life may throw at you. You are to pray. And you are to pray in reliance on the Spirit. You are to pray in the transforming work of the Spirit and in his faithful translation, making supplication to God on your behalf, so that although we do not even know what to pray for as we ought, yet he prays on our behalf. He translates our prayers for us. And you are to be watchful. You are to keep alert in prayer. Prayer is far from inactivity. Prayer is perseverance. Prayer is watchfulness. This is how you keep vigil for the message of the gospel. And you pray for all of the saints. You pray for all of the needs of the saints, and especially that the body of Christ all together may indeed follow through on the Great Commission to make disciples of all nations. And pray especially for your ministers, as Paul says, "To pray also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel." Pray for your ministers. Pray for those who proclaim the gospel. Prayer, in fact, is a participation in the spread of the gospel. Ministers are at the forefront of spreading the gospel, as God and his power are at work in the preaching of the word. But ministers do not speak with their own words. Ministers depend on God for words. Not even the great apostle Paul had any words of his own to proclaim. For he proclaimed only the words that God gave him. He proclaimed the mystery of God. He proclaimed the things that are hidden in God's counsel, the things of salvation, but that he has revealed in the scriptures. And ministers depend on God for boldness. You'd think Paul to be a very bold fellow, wouldn't you? Disputing with people in the marketplaces, in the synagogues, walking across the Mediterranean seaboard many times, suffering flogging, shipwreck, and yet carrying on in his mission. You'd think Paul to be a bold fellow. And yet, where does he get that boldness? He gets it from God. Ministers, no different from lay people. Ministers have no strength of their own. Ministers are the same as all the saints in that respect. And so ministers of the gospel need your prayers for God's boldness and for their reliance on the word of God. For where else could boldness come from but trust in God, trust in his word, and trust that he brings about his desired results through his word. For Paul is an ambassador for this word in chains. Paul is in this place. He describes himself elsewhere as a soldier, but here he describes himself not as a soldier, but as an ambassador. He's a representative of the king. For Paul is an emissary of the kingdom of heaven. He is a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, and he has been sent as an ambassador to the kingdom of this world with the message of his king. And so Paul may be imprisoned, but his work goes on. He remains an ambassador, and in every circumstance, no matter what Paul faces, he is under the absolute necessity of proclamation. That's the force of the phrase, as I ought to speak. He is under the necessity of proclaiming God's word. He is bound to speak the word of God boldly. And so Paul needs strength. He needs boldness. And he needs the word that comes from God. And so he calls you to pray for all of God's ministers who all need the same things. For it is Christ whom we proclaim. Christ, the one whose strength was proved in his death and resurrection. Where Adam failed to resist Satan, though he was in a lush garden with everything that he needed, Jesus resisted Satan in the hostile wilderness after fasting 40 days and 40 nights. And that same strength carried him to the cross, where he put an end to sin and death's depredations against you. Jesus is the mighty conqueror. His final victory is certain. But while he will come to destroy his enemies, he has come to make you his citizens, his family members, by faith. And so ever since the fall, we have struggled in our own strength, although we are dead in our sins. But in Christ, the battle has come to a head, and you have strength in him. You have strength to resist the evils that the evil one wishes to lead you to. And so put on the armor of God. Trust in him. And be watchful in prayer. And by the strength of Christ, you will win the victory. You will live in the resurrection in this evil age. And you will enjoy that Sabbath rest in the age to come. Amen.